Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehr, and it's Albany versus New York City round infinity. It's WNYC, WNYC.org. Today we'll look at the battle between Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio about how New York kids will get pre-kindergarten and who will pay for it, as well as other news from the State House. We'll wrap up our Oscar-nominated documentary series with investigative journalist Jeremy Scahill. The film Dirty Wars is based on his book about counterterrorism and surveillance efforts around the world. UFT President Michael Mulgrew will join us on the negotiations over a new teacher's contract. City environmental workers got a new contract today for an average of $50,000 each in back pay. Does that set the blueprint for a deal with teachers? Also today, media thinker Douglas Rushkoff will join us on his new frontline documentary called Generation Like, how corporations are trying to turn all those Facebook likes and retweets into big bucks. And before the next snowstorm, we'll have a call-in for your warmest memories. If only on the radio, we can create the feeling of walking barefoot in the grass, sun tingling on the back of your neck. Those calls coming at the end of the show. But for now, it's off to Albany, where New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio was praying for pre-K this weekend. He appeared alongside Governor Andrew Cuomo at an Albany church service. The two leaders agree wholeheartedly about making pre-K universal, but disagree about whether a new tax is needed in New York City to pay for it. They smiled and were friendly throughout the service yesterday. But as the New York Times noted, when they clapped along with the gospel choir, sometimes it wasn't in sync with the music and sometimes it wasn't in sync with each other. Joining me to talk about the latest in Albany politics is Liz Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight on YNN and a columnist for Capital New York. Welcome back to WNYC, Liz.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So, Liz, I want to start by asking you about Governor Cuomo's argument against creating a new tax to pay for universal pre-K in New York City. Here's how he laid it out on Friday when he called into the Brian Lehr Show.
The answer to the tale of two cities is not to create two states, right? The answer to inequity and inequality is not to create more inequity and inequality. I don't support a system that has the millionaires of New York City funding a system for the children in New York City. I support a statewide system because the children in New York City are precious, and so are the children in Buffalo.
So this is an argument that Governor Cuomo sort of rolled out last week, and the Albany Times Union's Casey Seiler called it political jujitsu at a very high level. And he argued that it caught de Blasio flat-footed. Do you see Cuomo really pouncing here by taking on de Blasio's key message of A Tale of Two Cities and turning it against him?
I don't know that he turned it against him so much as he flipped the script, which was pretty brilliant. And he also borrowed from his own father, who used this same theme in his famous national convention speech that propelled him onto the national stage and started speculation about his own presidential aspirations. So this whole inequality conversation certainly was not born with Bill de Blasio. And that's one thing that the governor did to remind people that it's been around for quite some time. And also, you know, to mobilize the upstate elected officials and to really capitalize on the upstate-downstate divide, if you will, which has been going on since time immemorial, and sort of turn people against those New York City folks who only care about themselves is, I agree, really brilliant, politically speaking.
And when you say capitalized on that divide, there were emailed statements coming from upstate lawmakers basically echoing Governor Cuomo's argument. How coordinated was that out of the governor's office?
Well, yeah, the administration really chafes at the suggestion that this was coordinated. But, you know, the language is similar in a number of those statements. And the people who sent them are people who have been allied with the governor in the past. So, you know, I'm not going to say definitively, because I've not spoken to anybody who says definitively, yes, the governor asked me to send this, or yes, the governor wrote it for me, or the governor's press shop. But it looks awfully coordinated. It's hard to say that it looks like anything else.
So Mayor Bill de Blasio was in Albany for events with the Black, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, and Asian Legislative Caucus. And at that church service that I mentioned, he said, every child, not some, every child deserves full-day pre-K. And afterwards, he had to tell reporters he wasn't stepping away from his position that it requires a tax in New York City. He said he was just being polite. Let's take a listen.
Well, I wanted to be respectful of the governor. He's someone I personally know and am close to, and also I respect him and what he's doing as governor. I respect the office of governor, too. So I wanted to be respectful. We obviously have a difference on how to do this.
So Mayor de Blasio has long said that he's not going to discuss a plan B when he's still pushing for plan A, which is a tax on the wealthy in New York City to pay for pre-K. Watching him yesterday in Albany and when he chose to mention the tax and when he didn't, did you see him adjusting his strategy up there?
You know, it seemed a little bit like flailing, unfortunately. And I'll say that the conventional wisdom in Albany and is that he is getting boxed out, or if hasn't already been boxed out by the governor. And his chief ally, the IDC leader in the Senate, Jeff Klein, similarly had a little bit of a problem last week when the Senate GOP leader, or the co-leader of the Senate, Dean Skelos, said, I'm not going to let any bill that allows New York City the power to unilaterally raise its own taxes come to the floor, which, you know, basically means he's blocking it. Subsequently, Klein said he would block the budget if it didn't include either the tax plan or a fully funded pre-K plan to the tune of $340 million, which is what de Blasio says he wants. And the governor's plan is only $100 million statewide for the first year, which is far short, obviously, of what the mayor is seeking. So it just seems like there's no they don't really know where to go from here in response to the governor, who has sort of opened up a number of fronts, including, you know, when we were talking about the statements that came out from various different folks upstate. There was one from Senator Tim Kennedy, who is a Democrat from Buffalo, who sort of trends to the conservative side. And if he says that he sides with the governor and not Mayor de Blasio, well, that's one less yes vote, if in fact their thing ever did make it to the floor. So that's problematic, right? Because then in the Democratic conference itself, there aren't sufficient votes. So it wouldn't really matter whether the thing gets there, even if Jeff Klein could somehow manage to get it to the floor. All of this is sort of careful on time-honored political maneuvering in Albany, using knowledge of how things work in Albany to their advantage. And the mayor is new, and his team is not tested in Albany, most of them. I mean, there are some, you know, really long-term folks, including Dean Fuleihan, who, of course, used to work for the Speaker of the Assembly, is now the budget director in New York City. He knows how Albany works. But generally speaking, you know, the mayor is an Albany neophyte. So, and it shows.
So you mentioned Mayor de Blasio looking like he was flailing over the weekend, that he doesn't look like he knows how Albany works. But another leader in Albany who does know how Albany works is Speaker Sheldon Silver, who is aligned with Mayor de Blasio on this tax. Do you expect him to put anything on the line for this, do some horse trading to help out de Blasio?
It's unclear. He hasn't so far. I mean, but that doesn't mean he won't, per se. Shelley Silver is infamous for playing his cards incredibly close to the vest. He is the master of the long game. So for him, I would be incredibly surprised if he came out and said something like, I'll hold up the budget if it doesn't have de Blasio's plan in there. I mean, it's just an un-Silver thing to do. He is not certainly, you know, playing budget hardball is not beneath him. He's done it for years. But it's unclear how far he'd be willing to go in terms of going to the mat for this or for any other sort of progressive issue that his conference is, you know, chomping at the bit to get passed.
You said the conventional wisdom in Albany is that Mayor de Blasio is perhaps already boxed out by the governor and others on this tax plan. When did that shift? Did that come after the Quinnipiac poll that came out last week that found that New York voters, including New York City voters, favored Cuomo's plan about universal pre-K without a new tax over de Blasio's plan? Or was this already sort of gelling as the idea that de Blasio was being outmaneuvered in Albany?
Yeah, that, I think that certainly didn't do the mayor any favors, nor did a subsequent poll that indicated that the governor's favorability is considerably higher than the mayor's, you know, in their own respective circles of influence. So the mayor in New York City and the governor statewide. I think it was already moving in that direction. The governor characterized the Quinnipiac poll as having a question that was unfair, which is to say, if you ask people, do they want a bowl of free candy, then they would, of course, say yes. You know, do you want free pre-K that you don't have to be taxed for directly? Obviously, people's tax dollars are going to be paying for pre-K under Cuomo's plan because that's where the state gets the bulk of its money. But, you know, it was already going in that direction. I would say it probably started with the state budget, which is where the governor laid out his $1.5 billion over 5 years to expand pre-K across the state. He made it a statewide issue, and that was the first thing that he did, and that engages the upstate folks and sort of exacerbates, again, that upstate-downstate divide. And the response to, I'll give you free money, from the de Blasio administration was, well, it's not enough, to which I think the governor responded something to the effect of, well, when you're ready to get things online, if you've got classrooms ready to go and teachers ready to go and, you know, kids ready to go for the 54,000 pre-K students that you want to provide the service to, then we'll give you the money for that. But the reality is that they're not ready. There's not sufficient classroom space. There's not sufficient teachers.
The New York Daily News, Ken Levitt, has a piece this morning with Democrats basically grousing in Albany that Bill de Blasio seems to have gone for too much too soon. One unnamed Democrat, his agenda is definitely welcome, but a lot of liberals in the legislature, and I'm one of them, are saying he's giving us too much to chew. He includes pre-K and then this new push for raising the minimum wage. I mean, are you hearing that talking to Democratic legislators in the Senate as well?
I think there's some confusion as to why the mayor opened up a new front on the minimum wage when he was already pushing so hard on pre-K. And both of those things are a pretty heavy lift. The governor's not interested in the minimum wage. But you could also see it from another side, which would be they're sort of two sides of the same coin. What the mayor is trying to do is have the city have more control over its own destiny. And certainly having the ability to raise its own minimum wage is about the same ideology of having the ability to raise its own taxes. The city is a creature of the state, and mayors have always chafed against that reality. All municipalities are creatures of the state. You know, local mayors up outside of New York City have to come and hat in hand and ask, can they please, you know, raise their sales tax, or can they please at least keep the increase of the sales tax percentage that they got the year before. I mean, that's a semi-humiliating thing to have to keep doing, and certainly it stresses out a lot of mayors who would prefer to be more powerful in their own realm.
Of course, I mean, and Albany lawmakers would be voting to give up some of their power. Who wants to do
Correct.
That? I mean, the de Blasio administration has long said that they're going to run a grassroots campaign similar to the successful campaign they ran to get de Blasio elected in the first place. Do you see a scenario where crowding the halls of the statehouse in Albany, lots of union supporters with signs, could change the dynamics, or does it feel kind of set at this point?
I think the real question is, look, it's an election year. So the question is, what kind of pain are people going to feel if UPK doesn't pass? How much of a price are they going to pay, if they pay a price at all, at the ballot box? Who's going to get challenged from the left in a primary on the Democratic side if that doesn't go through? And so far, I haven't seen any definitive answers to those questions. And, you know, particularly if you look at Fred Dicker's column this morning, which was also interesting, suggesting that the governor sort of isn't concerned with New York City, assumes it's sort of a fait accompli that liberal Democrats will be supporting him in the election this fall, because really where else are they going to go? And he's focused on making up the ground that he's lost upstate because he wants his numbers to be high if, in fact, he's looking for a White House run down the road. Then, you know, he doesn't really care about UPK. It's not his main priority. Other lower level lawmakers, I'm not so sure, but I haven't seen so far a groundswell of people who are terrified that they won't get elected because Bill de Blasio doesn't get his way on pre-K.
On pre-K. And you mentioned Governor Cuomo's reelection. I mean, looking at those Quinnipiac poll numbers from last week, I mean, voters are split 46-45 on whether they approve of the governor's performance on the economy and jobs. The
right.
suburbs and upstate narrowly disapprove, while New York City approves. So it seems to me that Bill de Blasio being able to go up to Albany and be calling for things for New York City and the governor outmaneuvering him and being able to use talking points like I'm for the whole of New York State, not just New York City, this plays right into that reelection campaign strategy.
Yeah, it does. And also, you know, I think that the suburbs are going to be key, particularly if the gubernatorial challenger on the GOP side is Rob Astorino, who, of course, is the Westchester County executive. You know, or maybe it will be Donald Trump, in which case I have no idea where his appeal is, because his numbers are in the negatives in terms of approval, outweighing his positives. But assuming that it is Rob Astorino in the end, that suburban vote is going to be key. And certainly that's something that the governor is quite cognizant of. And in terms of upstate, Western New York was where he lost last time around, because Western New York's, you know, local son, Carl Palladino, was the GOP conservative candidate, and he won in that region. And I don't think the governor wants to see a repeat of that. You've got people up there who are upset about the SAFE Act, the gun control law that the governor pushed through mm-hmm. the legislature in the wake of the Newtown massacre. They're not really, you know, clamoring for pre-K. It's not really their issue. So it does seem to play into the dynamic that the governor is more interested in the economy, which, of course, as you noted, is the thing that most people say they're most concerned about. If you ask them an open-ended question, they don't say, I'm most concerned about pre-K. They say, I'm most concerned about jobs and taxes and the economy.
And I should mention, Governor Cuomo, we played that tape at the start where he said the children of Buffalo are precious, just like the children of New York City. But he went on to say the children in Suffolk County are precious. So he's
right.
mentioning both upstate and suburban New York State children as he's
right.
making that argument. I want to ask you on the jobs question. A lawsuit was filed on Friday by supporters of natural gas drilling seeking to force the state to speed up its review of hydraulic fracturing. There's, of course, a moratorium while the state conducts environmental and health reviews. The lawsuit alleges that Governor Cuomo is inappropriately stalling without the authority to do so. Do you see this lawsuit having any effect on the timeline, or do you think it's still likely that it will be after the election before we see a decision on this from the state?
Yeah, I think the governor, regardless of the lawsuit or anything, is going to try to hold out as long as he can before making a decision on this, if, in fact, a decision hasn't already been made. I mean, you might argue that the whole question of fracking has already been answered by this long delay, and that and companies pulling up stakes in New York and going elsewhere or going bankrupt because they're not, you know, they're not getting the clearance that they thought they would, and their land claims are not worth anything anymore. It's probably not going to get decided before the election. And, you know, I haven't seen any real sense of urgency on the part of the health commissioner, who was grilled on this topic at a joint budget committee hearing that the legislature held. And he didn't, nor did the D.C. commissioner seem to have any sense of urgency. And certainly, you know, that comes from the top. It's the governor who sets the tone for his administration. And who knows when the public health review will be out, because the commissioner didn't really have very much to say on that topic.
And the Quinnipiac poll also asked about this last week. New York voters oppose hydraulic fracturing by a slight margin, even as when you look at the numbers, they see Cuomo dragging his feet on this decision. But the public opinion slightly against hydraulic fracturing statewide at this point.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers have flipped, you know, back and forth. They've been basically the same within a few or give or take a
yeah,
few percentage
close.
Points, right? So I don't even know. I don't, again, fracking isn't what comes up when you ask people an open-ended general question about what they care about the most, what they think the legislature and the governor should be focused on the most. Yes, there are diehard people on both sides of the equation, you know, of the argument, who say, this is my, you know, focus and my main concern. But generally speaking, it's not for the bulk of people who are living in the state. In the southern tier, you know, in terms of jobs and the economy, people might be thinking about it a little more.
And before you go, I want to ask you about Common Core in New York State. UFT President Michael Mulgrew is going to be on the show later today. And the New York Times has a piece today that argues that the state is one of the rare blue states joining the chorus of complaints about the Common Core curriculum with red states. Lawmakers are calling for a delay and using results to evaluate teachers. The union's calling for delay. The governor's criticized the rollout of Common Core in New York State. What do you think we're going to see legislatively in regards to Common Core this session?
Well, interesting. I think that the legislature is still sort of hell-bent on weighing in on this topic, even though the governor, you know, wants everybody to keep their powder dry, clearly, until he has his commission come out with recommendations. That was the main reason, or at least what people thought was the main reason, that the Board of Regents abruptly reversed itself within 24 hours and didn't pass in the end. It's a teacher performance evaluation piece of the Common Core remediation plan, if you will, the 19-point plan. But I think the legislature is hearing it really from constituents, lawmakers are, and they want to make some kind of movement on this issue before the election so they could at least go home and say that they're trying. I'd be surprised if lawmakers don't move on something. You have seen unusual coordination between the leaders in both houses calling for a 2-year moratorium, not the 3-year moratorium, on using that the unions had been seeking, mm-hmm. on using the test results of uncommon core related curriculum for quote unquote high stakes decisions, which includes teacher performance evaluations and student graduation, student movement, you know, from one grade to another.
So we've been talking about issues that lawmakers are hearing about when you ask open-ended questions. It seems like Common Core implementation is something they are hearing a lot from constituents about.
Well, that doesn't show up in the polling, but, you know, education does show up, but Common Core specifically does not. It's just if you ask them anecdotally, and certainly if you have been following any of these public forums and hearings that have been held for over the past number of months all over the state, you know, hundreds of people are showing up to them. So I know that lawmakers are hearing it, particularly in areas where, you know, education is a huge deal. I mean, obviously, the test scores were the lowest in the state in Rochester, so that after the Common Core curriculum was put out and they tested on it, so that's a problem. Buffalo has had a devil of a time with its public school system for a whole host of reasons, so people are very attuned there. And then on Long Island, of course, education is always a big issue.
Liz Benjamin is host of Capital Tonight on YNN and a columnist for Capital New York. Thanks so much for joining us this morning and laying this all out for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll go to West Virginia, where concerns about water safety persist more than a month after a chemical spill. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer.